Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
The bar mitzvah. We'll discuss that as the show goes on. And we have extra time today, guys. We go to 12:30 today, leading you right up to the Islanders and the Hurricanes on 98.7 ESPN. And that game is, it's big for the Islanders, it's big for the Hurricanes, and it's big for the Rangers. If you're a Rangers fan, you just do not want an overtime game. You want someone to win in regulation. I guess preferably Carolina. If Carolina wins that game in regulation and the Rangers win tonight, a game you can hear on 98.7 ESPN against the New Jersey Devils, the Rangers are a playoff team. That's how close they've actually got themselves to being in playoff contention. So we have a ton to do. We'll get into Mika's night the other evening. And how good he was and where that actually ranks. I mean, that ranks amongst, I mean, let's be fair, that ranks amongst the greatest single game performances in New York sports. Now, granted, it wasn't a Super Bowl. It wasn't game seven of a playoff series. But as far as a regular season, I mean, that is a huge, huge game from him. And it's not like they won 9-2 or lost 9-6 and they were meaningless goals. Every single goal he scored and then some was needed by the Rangers. So we'll get into that as we move forward. As always, 800-919-3776. We'll get into this Chris Paul situation. Knicks were very Knick-like last night at the Garden. They get beat up by Oklahoma City yet again. We will certainly get into that this morning. Connor Rogers from Bleacher Report is going to join us right at 10 o'clock. He covers the Jets. I think the Jets are interesting because now Trent Williams is going to be available. And what would you give up for a guy like Trent Williams? So obviously we'll get into that. Yankees, the Yankees medical staff. If you are a fan of the Yankees and you just don't shake your head at what's going on with that medical staff, I do not understand. And we'll certainly get into that, and that'll lead the show in a moment. But I wanted to take about 2 minutes, and I haven't talked to Ty about it. I haven't talked to anybody about doing this, but I find it necessary to do this. A lot of people's mentor passed away yesterday. Ed Ingles. Ed Ingles was a wonderful man. I want to just tell you a quick little story or two about him. He was the sports director at WCBS 880 forever. And he was just, I mean, entrenched in New York sports. He was involved in the Jets broadcast. And you read on Twitter, and I'm sure all of you saw on Twitter yesterday that Ed Ingles had passed away. And maybe some of you knew and maybe some of you didn't. But I wanted to quickly tell you a story about my interactions with Ed Ingles and what a gentleman and a kind, nice man he, in fact, was. And so I think 17 years old. And for my entire life, all I wanted to do was be a sports caster. And the medium of sports talk radio wasn't even, I mean, I know you don't think this by looking at me, but I'm not the youngest guy in the world at this point. I'll actually be 47 this week. So this is 30 years ago. So sports talk was really just in its infancy stages. And I actually used to see an allergist, having nothing to do with Ed Ingles at the moment. So I used to see an allergist, and I was there talking to him one day, and I told him what I wanted to do. And he said, as a matter of fact, he said, I have a patient that is a sportscaster. I can check and see if he'd be willing to talk with you. And I said, that would be great. I would absolutely love that. So he reached out to, you guessed it, Ed Ingles. And he said, Ed, listen, I have a patient, wants to be a sportscaster, senior in high school. Would you be willing to talk to him? And I think about how I am now and how people are now. Would I be willing to do that? Well, let me tell you what he did. And this is a guy that was a very high level at this time. This is 30 years ago, but he's still in his late 50s at that time. And he says, here's what you do. Give him my number and have him call me. So I think I'd be willing to do that, to have a kid who's high school aged, has this great aspiration, wants to be a sportscaster. I think I would do that. I hope I would do that. And then I call him and I explain my situation and what I want to do and how desperate I am to do it. And I'm willing to do anything and all the sacrifices and all that. And he said, I'll tell you what, Dave. He said, what are you doing on Wednesday night? And I said, nah, I don't know. He said, come over to my house. We'll sit down and we'll talk. So now, mind you, he's never met me. Other than a referral from an allergist that we're both seeing, he doesn't know me from Adam, and he invites me into his home. He invites me into his home. I go into his house. He welcomes me. He parades out food. He introduces me to his family, and he sits with me for about an hour and a half and explains to me how difficult this is. Is it something I really want? Is it something I'm willing to sacrifice for? And that's the kind of guy that Ed Ingalls was. And we kept in touch. Now, years later, I became the tremendous, and Ty, you know, the tremendous success that I've turned myself into. And he was also kind of a professor emeritus at Hofstra University. So I'm invited to speak at Hofstra. And a buddy of mine that I used to work with is the one that invited me. And I spoke to all these journalism students. And at the end, Ed comes up to me. And I haven't seen him probably since that night in his living room 30 years ago. And he comes up to me and he puts his arm around me and he says, "You did pretty good. You did pretty good." So I just wanted to take a moment because this was, and here's so many stories about people in the industry that are difficult and hard to work with. And I mean, it runs the gamut. This was not one of them. This was a gentleman, and this was a guy that took the time and the effort and the energy to help a nothing 17-year-old back in the day. And I know that he was, like I said, involved in Hofstra Radio forever. And our station, Ryan Hurley, is a Hofstra alum. John Winthrop is a Hofstra alum. So everyone in our industry owes a little bit of debt of gratitude to the great Ed Ingalls, and he passes away at the age of 87. All right, so I wanted to share that story with you and start you out on your Saturday morning. And now we can get into our normal conversation and the Yankees. And I'd like to open up the phones because I just do not understand how you can be a Yankees fan at this moment and not be frustrated, angered, annoyed to the nth degree. I mean, Severino has issues and it just kind of goes seemingly not dealt with for months. Now look, he was going to miss the entirety of the season regardless, but now it sounds like Severino's going to miss the entirety of the season and a good portion of next season. He was never right. He was never right. And yesterday we learned, and this is frustrating, we'll hear from Aaron Boone in a second, about the Judge injury. And this is an injury that you hear and you say to yourself, what's the magnitude of this now? So here's Aaron Boone, and we'll discuss it after. I want to get to your calls on 800-919-3776. Aaron Boone announcing the injury to Aaron Judge.
So he has a stress fracture of the first right rib. Obviously a lot of tests to get. It's a tough diagnosis to find. So that's what we're dealing with. It's probably an injury that dates back to September when he dove, we think. Signs are that it shows signs of healing. So we're going to give it the next couple of weeks, and then we'll retest to show how much healing is going on with that rib.
Here's my thing. This has been something. First of all, it was bothering him in September. We're now March. Nothing was done about it. Nothing? Nothing was done about it is mind-boggling to me. No? We've had, what, September, October, November, December, January, and February. And just now they decide to run the gamut of testing on the rib? And here's the thing I don't understand. So it's been bothering him on and off, and clearly it's a problem now, for 6 months. The plan is to rest him for 2 weeks and see where we're at? Am I the only one that thinks a two-week additional rest probably is not going to be enough where, all right, Aaron, you're in right field every single day and let's start the season? And then you start to hear about, you know, surgery is a possibility. What surgery? They're going to remove the rib? I'm at a loss, to be honest with you. If I was a Yankees fan, I would be beside myself. This is Mets' way of handling themselves. If you told me, here's what we got. We got a pitcher whose arm is bothering him, and we won't deal with it for months. We've got an outfielder whose pec, rib, shoulder area is bothering him. It has been since September. We'll deal with it in March and really try to get to the bottom of that. I'd say this is the Mets that are handling themselves like this. And the Yankees blew out the entire medical staff this offseason. I just, for the life of me, I do not understand. I do not understand. Now, do I think they'll be fine? I think they will be completely fine. Yeah, I do. Listen, truthfully, if Judge doesn't play in, it's amazing, March, right? Because we're 2.5 weeks away from the start of the season. Starts on the 26th. So if he doesn't play in March, and he doesn't play in April, and he doesn't play in May, and I don't think it'll be to that extent, but even if you do not get Aaron Judge for, say, 8 weeks, in the grand scheme of things, does it really, really matter? And the answer is no, because you know exactly what the Yankees need and when they need it, and that is October. Could the Rays compete for the division? I guess maybe, sort of, possibly. The Red Sox will not. The Blue Jays will not. And the Orioles will not. So, see, here's the thing. I think if you're a Yankees fan, as frustrated as you are right now, and you should be, and I would be, I think you have to look big, big, big picture. And that is, where are we in October? And that's what the entirety of the season has to be. Not get caught up in the minutia of late March, early April. Can Andujar go back-to-back games? Is Voit healthy enough? No. It's about Judge. It's about Sanchez. It's about Torres. It's about Stanton. It's about Cole, Tanaka, Paxton, four. Say it with me. October. Because let's be honest, July, August, September, they matter. But this Yankees team has much, much, much loftier goals.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
This is actually what I kind of love about this industry, is you can come in with a plan, and this is what we're going to do, right? This is the topics we're going to hit, and there's so much you're sitting around and going over topics, and then something happens, and you kind of change the narrative of the show. If you're just tuning in, and a good Saturday morning to you. The Nets and Kenny Atkinson have decided to part ways. Now, you'll hear a lot of people blaming Kyrie Irving. Here's what I will say. And Ty, I know you're going to have a differing take, and that's fine. But here's what I'm going to say. If Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant loved Kenny Atkinson, he would still be the coach of the Nets. And I'm not saying that they forced him out, but if those guys went to bat for Kenny Atkinson, he'd still be the head coach. And you talk about the bloom being off the rose. This is a guy that was considered last year, even when they lost in their playoff series, was considered one of the best, brightest head coaches in all the NBA. And now he's out. And let me follow it up with this. And I don't know the relationship with Atkinson and Leon Rose or anything like that. But you're telling me, seeing what you've seen, that you wouldn't be a fan of the Knicks potentially bringing him in? Now, Adrian Wojnarowski tweets, Sean Marks and Atkinson had several conversations, and the sense had been that a change was inevitable, and both sides decided that there was no sense waiting on this. Both had felt that Atkinson and the Nets had run their course together. They have maintained a close relationship. The course, he was the head coach for a year and a half. Boy, things move quickly now, don't they? Really, really quickly. So 800-919-3776. And they're going to get into the postseason. We know that. I mean, you can't help but get into the postseason from the Eastern Conference. They're well below 500. They will absolutely get in. Let's go to Brian in Jersey. Brian, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Good.
I can't believe that they fired, or not fired him, but let this guy go. If it's one thing I felt with the Nets over these past couple seasons, is this stability. You know, I really felt safe with them. I felt that they were building something. I was very hesitant. I mean, there's nothing I could do about them getting Kyrie, but I'm just not used to having a guy come in and tear apart an organization, if that's the case. But there's no way around it. The two out of the last three games, the Nets played pretty good. I mean, the one back-to-back, you can't blame them for that.
Well, they had that miraculous win where LeVert went bananas. They got destroyed against Memphis. And this is not of what has happened to them in the last week. This is a summation of what they were this entire season. And let's be fair, Brian. Are you a Nets fan?
Oh, diehard, yeah.
Yeah, they have had a far substandard season from what you thought they were going to have.
I agree. And the one saving grace, obviously, is the fact that, you know, you're going to get your actual team. I mean, Vert really picked it up, so it's good to see him kind of step up. But this is a step backwards. There's no denying that. I mean,
no, this is, let's be fair. What are they, 28-34 on the season? I mean, the only reason you're going to get in is because the Eastern Conference stinks. And thanks for the phone call. It is horrendous. I think Orlando's a game or a game and a half back, and then you have Washington. I mean, yeah, I believe, and I have to pull up the standings, I believe that Charlotte is in the 10 spot, and is 20 games below 500. 20 games below. There should almost be a rule that if you're below 500, you can't go to the postseason. But, and you'll hear the rumblings. And again, I don't know what's true, and Woj and people within the organization will start to leak some stuff. How much is to blame on Kyrie Irving? Because I have a hard time buying that if Irving and Durant wanted Kenny to stay, that he wouldn't still be the head coach of the Nets. Emmanuel in Flushing. Emmanuel, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Dave. How are you doing, my man?
Good. What's going on, man? Appreciate the phone call.
I'm good. I mean, I'm just surprised like you. I mean, Kenny Atkinson just left, just 20 games left of the season. The Nets, I mean, the playoff starts today. The Nets will be in as a seventh seed, which is a surprise to me. Despite
but let's be fair, Emmanuel. They have not had a good season.
I agree. Don't get me wrong.
They are a byproduct of a horrendous, horrendous Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the Eastern Conference has been terrible for a decade. Despite where LeBron was playing there, I mean, the Eastern Conference was weak. Will you be surprised if Kenny Atkinson coaching Knicks radar is coming?
I just said it moments ago. Look, I mean, it's so new, it's hard to envision, and I personally don't know his relationship. And I don't, I mean, with Leon Rose, and thanks for the phone call, and I don't know who's going to come in and ultimately run the Knicks, right? But he's a good basketball guy. A really good basketball guy. And I think if you're the Knicks, and you want to pick up every rock and look under it if you're the Knicks, I think you'd be foolish not to at least talk to him. I mean, you talk to Mark Jackson. You talk to the Van Gundys. You talk to Kenny Atkinson. Yeah, I think you're obligated to talk to all these guys. Kevin and Woodbury. Kevin, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, what's going on?
I'm a Knicks fan. I was just thinking about the whole Nets situation with Kenny Atkinson. Do you think this is like possibly a domino effect with possibly rebuilding the roster as well with Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, Jared Dudley in the summertime to kind of boost their roster now with Atkinson gone? Do you think this might be like kind of a domino effect? They might be kind of doing a change over the summertime as well?
Well, what do you mean? This is the Mark Jackson change before you hire Steve Kerr? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, kind of like that situation.
I honestly, I'm just digesting it the same as everyone else. I don't know. I don't know that you get a better head coach. It has to be a personality issue. That's what I believe. He either had an issue, and thanks to the call, either had an issue with Sean Marks or had an issue with Kyrie Irving. And I'm not saying he did, but it can't just be that all of a sudden they looked at it and said, because he was considered, I mean, one of the top young coaches in the entirety of the NBA. So I just can't believe that they woke up last week and said, boy, we've got to move on. And as Woj said, this has been brewing for a while, but there's more to this story than we know right now. And we will find out, but this is a deeper story because he's a good head coach. Very, very strange. Very strange. Let's go to Hef in Jersey. Hef, you're next up on 98.7, buddy.
How you doing, Dave? Man, love the show, man. But
appreciate it, Hef.
I can't understand what's going on with the Nets, man. Like, last year, I was beating the drum like, yo, this is one of the best turnarounds that we could possibly have had as Nets fans for the longest time. Now, all of a sudden, we bring Kyrie in, who I really didn't want. I wanted them to keep D'Angelo because of the youth. And that left hand is killer. And Kyrie's always injured. But I did want KD. And the only way you can do it is by bringing in Kyrie.
Right, right.
And it's like, this is terrible, man. I blame everything on Kyrie. I'm telling you, I blame it all on him.
I think there's a real chance of that. But just be careful now. And thanks very much for the phone call. Just be careful, because that's going to be the immediate path that everyone takes. Now, Ty, you're typing this on my screen. This can't be true.
It is.
Aaron Boone is New York's longest tenured head coach.
Can you name someone who's been a head coach or a manager longer than Aaron Boone?
He's been here for 10 minutes.
It's sad.
Let's run through the teams. Devils made a coaching change this year. So Boone started when?
Boone started at the beginning of, 18, right? Yeah, 18.
So Boone gave you 18, 19. So David Quinn was here. The same time frame, no? David Quinn gave you all last year.
He gave you 18. Yep. David Quinn started in 18.
Right. Right. And so did Boone, no?
Boone also started in 18.
All right. So they're on equal footing.
Yes.
Giants haven't even had their coach start yet. Jets coach has 1 year. Knicks coach, well, we know. Nets have made a change now. Devils, no. Rangers, equal footing. Islanders, when did Trot start? Trot started last year, right? So Trotz is also on the same. Now, are you actually going by the day they were all hired? Is that the direction you're moving in here? Because Trotz also started last year.
Yes, the day they were hired.
So the actual day that they became employed by their team, Aaron Boone is the longest tenured coach manager in New York sports, right?
That is correct.
That is unbelievable. That is absolutely unbelievable. And this
like
is
like a turnstile.
This is why you're the producer that you are. Because a lot of producers might not have that knowledge, and if they did, might not immediately feed it to the host. You make sure that that is procured by me immediately.
This is what I do for you, my friend.
You really are. You really are. I mean, showing your true colors today on a day that things are moving quickly.
Tell me more.
No wonder at the bar mitzvah why my wife was so taken with you.
Oh, is this true?
Oh, yeah. We were actually out at friends' houses last night. We were kind of recapping the bar mitzvah. And they were looking at some pictures. And they said, oh, who's this? There's a beautiful photo, which I sent to you and got no response, but a beautiful photo of you and Andrew Gunling.
Did he respond?
He did not either.
Okay.
So the both of you guys are, it wasn't a classy move, but that's irregardless, right? So they said, my friends last night said, who are these guys? I said, oh, that's my producer Saturday morning's Ty, and that's Andrew Gunling. And Sherry, from across the room, no, I don't want to say came running over like a superhero, but she comes over, she goes, I really like Ty. Said, I'm a big fan of his. So you got that going for you.
I love it. So now, was it because of something that happened at the bar mitzvah? Or
she
listened to the show?
I think she just thought you were a super nice, friendly, warm guy.
Oh, I love that. That makes me feel really good. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, yeah. Sherry. And she did mention she listens to the show.
Well, really, who doesn't?
So that's why I wanted to know, was it something that I said or something that I do, or was it
to be honest with you, and I'm not trying to be rude, like we didn't get into the depths of why she likes you.
You should have.
And maybe we will.
Especially if you're going to talk about it on
maybe
the air.
Maybe it'll
with
be
me.
Pillow talk tonight, but at this very moment, I don't have that answer. But she did say that she was completely taken and a big fan of yours.
So now you got to ask her for specific details. I need the minutia.
Now, that was your first ever bar mitzvah.
It was.
And?
And listen, so I asked Andrew this. We were standing together and I said, wow, so this is my first one. I picked a hell of a first one to go to. And he says, and I'm like, that's a good thing, right? And he goes, no, because now the bar is set so high, you're never going to quite reach this any bar mitzvah you go to.
So you think that is the Mount Rushmore of bar mitzvahs?
It was the Super Bowl of bar mitzvahs.
You had a terrific time.
I had a blast. Now, a little disappointed I wasn't at table one with the K show and all the bosses, but outside of that, I thought it was a phenomenal experience, especially for my first one.
And that was your first one.
It was great.
Right.
It got sentimental at times. You're up there with the family. You know, Sherry puts together that montage.
How good was that montage?
It was amazing. She said that she put over 200 hours into that thing.
I said that. But yeah, she put hundreds of hours into it.
But it was great. And I thought you were going to actually start tearing up because your speech was a little emotional.
Well, here's the thing. I kept it to the point where I didn't get too I mean, it was personal, of course, but I didn't get too personal because I did not want to cry. So I tried to keep it as light and funny as I could until the end where I spoke from the heart about it.
It was great, though. I had a blast.
Well, I'm glad you were there.
I appreciate the invite. The pleasure was all mine. And, you know, next time you do, maybe for Alex, I'll get invited to that one as well.
I would absolutely think that would be the case.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
The news of the morning, and typically, I mean, occasionally it does, but typically you don't get news, big news breaking during this show. This is usually a, you know, leading into the weekend reactionary show off of what we saw last night, and what we can anticipate for the weekend. And obviously it's a big weekend, 1 o'clock today, right here on 98.7 Islanders Hurricanes, which is a big game. If you're an Islanders fan, if you're a Hurricanes fan, if you are a Rangers fan, I mean, there is implications all over the place. So that's 1 o'clock. Then Anita Marks comes your way immediately following the game. And then Rangers-Devils tonight, a game you can also hear right here on 98.7 ESPN. So that's a 6:30 pregame. Rangers have been terrific lately. Now, I mean, they've lost three of four, but the Flyers, you just kind of strike from the record. they played really well, and Coach Quinn joined us yesterday. They played really well on, was it Tuesday of this week? Yeah, Tuesday against the Blues at home, an unfortunate goal. They lost that one with an empty netter 3-1. And then Thursday was just, I mean, it was sensational. Nothing shy of sensational. And Zibanejad gave you one of the great, and this is genuine, one of the great performances you've ever seen in one game in New York sports. And I know you hear that. You say, come on, it's hyperbole, Dave. Let's stop. It's not. That was one of the great, but he scored 5 goals. I think I saw something, 7 guys have scored 5 goals or more in a game in the last 30 years or something. And it wasn't like a 9-2 drubbing where you say he had 8 points and 5 goals and he would, no. It was against an elite team. It was a huge game for his team and he was nothing short of sensational. Let's get to the calls on Kenny Atkinson because obviously the Nets make the move. They move on from him. If he doesn't want to be, I would think that he's not unemployed for long. And I think if he's the Knicks, you give a long, hard look now. And I'm not saying you hire him, but, and I don't know his relationship, and we'll find out in the coming days with Leon Rose, and I don't know what direction the Knicks are even going to go in. I don't know what they do at GM. I don't know who they're looking for as far as a coach is concerned, but I think you'd be foolish not to at least talk to him because he's a good coach. And last year's Nets team was better than they should have been, and I think he's a huge reason for that. Let's go to Joe in Wantagh. Joe, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Mr. Rothenberg, thank you for taking my call.
You're very polite, and you're very welcome.
I just wanted to call in on the Kenny Atkinson thing. I'm a big Nets fan. I watch pretty much every game. At first, I was taken back, obviously. But thinking about it, it does kind of make sense. I mean, the last 2 seasons, they were in more of like a developmental phase. Kenny Atkinson is a great developmental coach. He plays all the practices with them. But he's not really like an X's and O's kind of guy. And if you look at the end of the games for the Nets a lot of times, it's just ISO Dinwiddie, and like, that's it. The ball stops moving. When they're racking up leads, they're moving the ball, they're passing it around, but when it gets time for buckets, I just don't see him drawing things up right, you know? So it kind of makes sense. I mean, you feel bad that you don't really get KD and Kyrie on the court with him, you know, to see what he can do. But
I mean, do you really think that you bring in a better head coach than Kenny Atkinson?
From an X's and O's standpoint, I mean, maybe. I think maybe you want somebody with a pedigree, no? I mean, the Mike Jackson Kerr thing, I think, is a great comparison. I think that's kind of where they're going with it. At least that's what I think. I don't know who they think this is
the next step, right? That they're going to take that. And thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. They're going to take that next step, and they're going to hand it to someone new. I imagine Vaughn will finish out the season. They'll give it to someone new who's going to inherit, hopefully, a healthy Kyrie Irving and hopefully a healthy Kevin Durant. But it's a shame because I think he's a good coach. I think he's a good guy. And I think that, it's hard to give you the ultimate answer because I don't know what they turned this into. But you better hire a big-time coach to replace him because I thought he was excellent. Excellent. James in Long Island. James, you're on 98.7.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Good.
To me, I'm a Knicks fan, and to me, I agree with you that I think he could get a job, but if I'm the Knicks, I'm not going anywhere near hiring him, or I don't understand, I don't see...
Why?
Because I just don't see him being a good... I don't see him handling I don't see him as a good media guy, I don't see him as a... I just don't see... The Knicks are in a rebuilding phase, obviously, now, and I don't think...
Well, look at the Nets last year. Nobody thought the Nets were going to be anything last year, and he led that team into the postseason.
Last year, the Nets were... last year, people thought the Nets were going to be good.
You thought that most people thought the Nets were going to be a playoff team last year?
Yes.
No, I don't agree with that.
And then also, adding to that, I heard you earlier talking about, which was funny, you were talking about as you were high schooler interested in sports media and stuff. I'm actually in high school now, and I'm actually interested in going into that type of field.
Listen, James, I got to run because I'm up against it, and you don't sound like you're in high school, but good luck and reach out again if you need to.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
To say the Islanders have been scuffling would be an understatement. They're 2-7-2 in their last 11. I think they've lost 5 in a row now. And they got destroyed by Montreal, which is a horrendous loss. And then they lose up in Ottawa. I mean, bad, bad losses. So this is a big one because they go on the road after today. And the Rangers are actually in position. And it's been a long time coming, people. The Rangers are actually in position. By the way, Islanders, 12:30. 1 o'clock, they drop the puck leading up to Anita Marks right after the Islanders and the Hurricanes. And Anita leads you right up to the Rangers and the Devils here on 98.7 ESPN, 6:30 pregame for that one. The Rangers are actually in position where a Carolina win in regulation, I believe this is true, a Carolina win in regulation and a Rangers win in any way tonight, and the Rangers will actually be a postseason team. Now, of course, that can change, and they go on a road trip, and that it's a very tough run that the Rangers have coming up. But they have fought themselves right back into the race, and they've done a sensational, sensational job. So let me give you the updated standing. And here's what I'd like to do, Ty. And I know you're a big piece of the show, and I like that.
Some would say the biggest.
I don't think anyone would say the biggest, but I do appreciate the efforts that you give on the show. I'd like to just kind of have a potpourri for this half hour.
Let's do it.
I mean, we're not even usually on in this time slot.
No, we're not.
You want to talk Rangers-Devils? Go. You want to talk Yankees injuries? Go. You want to talk Atkinson-Nets? Go. You want to talk Knicks and Spike Lee and Dolan? Go. Like, it's Giants draft? Go. Jets and Quinnen Williams? The floor is yours. The bar mitzvah? Go.
Lakers-Bucks?
My dominance in Stump Rothenberg, go. College basketball, go. 800-919-3776. So here it is. Columbus has 79 points. They have been, scuffling. They've been terrible. Islanders have 78. Rangers have 76. Islanders lose in regulation. Rangers win. The Rangers will be the second wild card when you put your head on the pillow tonight. 800-919-3776. Go to Jimmy in Staten Island. Jimmy, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, how you doing? Good afternoon.
What's up, Jimmy?
It's a surprise hearing from you in the afternoon around this time.
During the week you get me in the noon hour, but not on the weekend. So go ahead.
It's a pleasure. But I wanted to talk Kenny Atkinson. Can I also throw another question out about the Yankees?
Go ahead.
First, Dylan Kenny Atkinson, it amazes me how bougie the Nets are. And it's like, you know, they pull the move, which is really good, but I just don't understand the timing of it. I wanted to know your opinion on that, and I also want to know your opinion on as far as the coaching situation.
I think they probably realize that they're not going to have Kenny Atkinson as their coach next year. Like, they probably realize that. And I guess the thought process was, if he's not going to be with us next year, why are we going to go through this year where he's already underperformed and we don't love what he's doing? So they decided, let's bring in Jacque Vaughn, clean slate at the end of the season, and then we bring in the new coach to run with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant.
And lastly, I just wanted to ask you one more. I'm not sure if you're a Yankee or a Mets fan.
I detest the Yankees.
What's your opinion on where you think they need to go with this second starter to back up on help out Cole? What do you think?
I mean, when Paxton's healthy and Tanaka, and I think you'll be fine. Tanaka and healthy Paxton are 2-3. You're fine. Herman's going to come back. He's terrific, right? And thanks for the phone call, Jimmy. He's fine. Hap, Garcia. They have this kid Schmidt they like. Loaisiga, I do not have the same fear of, oh, my God. And listen, you're going to miss Severino. When healthy, he's a terrific pitcher, but the problem is he's never healthy. Eric in Queens. Eric, you're next up.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
What's up, Eric?
Yeah, I had two questions. For one, I want to know, do you think the Knicks will ever become a better team? We need some players, man. Do we ever get better in the next year or two? And then my next question is, what the hell is they messing around with Spike Lee for? He been going to an entrance, he said, for 24-something years. Why
put him down? I think they wanted to prove a point to Spike Lee. Do I think they'll get better? I mean, I hope so, Eric. I don't know. And thanks for the call. I don't have the answer for you, to be honest. I mean, I can't imagine that you're going to be this bad for so long, but I didn't think we'd be here. And here we are.
Right.
It's unbelievably frustrating to be a Knicks fan. I mean, do you realize how long? It's now 8 years since they've been decent. 8 years! Feels like it's 40 years ago. You've had, what, two good years in the last 20? That's unacceptable. Let's go to Stan in Levittown. Stan, you're next up on 98.7.
Hi, Stan. I just want to tell you first how much I enjoy listening to you and listening to you on the Michael Kay Show.
I'm not on the Michael Kay Show, though.
Oh, I thought I heard you on the Michael Kay. Well, anyway, I love you guys, all of you, you and them. But I did want to talk about Jim Dolan. And I wanted to explain to you why there's a problem with the Knicks. It's because of Jim Dolan. Because Jim Dolan is a very small man and has a very low self-opinion because he's never done anything. And if he had not inherited all
but this is his team. So you,
dad,
you can call him Austin. You can call him, and thanks for the call. I appreciate it. You can call him all the names you want. But here's the facts. He owns the Knicks. He's not going anywhere. And you'd hope that he can put some of his issues to the side and just try to do. And here's the thing that's so frustrating to me is you have owners all over the place, like the Wilpons. The Wilpons will not spend the money. They just, whether it's Madoff, whether it's, you know, they don't want to invest that much. They stand in the way. Dolan, for all the negatives you can say about him, and there are plenty, will spend the money, and still the Knicks are incapable of being that team. So it is, it's very frustrating. And you have to hope, because that's all you can do. I mean, you can go one of two ways. You could say, you know what, maybe this time they get it right, or I never believe they'll get it right, and then I'll never be disappointed. And I think both things are fair. But right now, it's very frustrating. Incredibly. Because they are a, they just don't have a lot of talent on this team. I mean, think of how many top picks you've had over the years and what they've materialized into. Frank Ntilikina, Kevin Knox. I mean, you can go all the way back. I mean, we can, if I read you, should we do it, Ty? Should I do this or should I not?
No, let's do it because there's a fascinating one from 2015 that I can't wait to hear about.
You really want to play this game?
Let's do it.
But it's almost cruel, isn't it?
No, you know what's cruel?
Here's why you want to do it. Because you're a Lakers fan. So you take enjoyment in seeing what the Knicks have done or not done over the course of their history.
No, the real reason why I want to do it is because, like, you hear Knicks fans always say the Nets are irrelevant. They don't care about them. They don't matter. And yet today, they are rejoicing as if they've just won a championship, but they haven't done since 73.
Don't you understand? We don't have anything.
Yeah, but
we
you can't.
We have nothing to hang our hats on. And the only thing that you have to look at and say, hey, that's good, is when others around you do not succeed.
But then don't say they're irrelevant and that they don't matter if you actually care. They do matter.
I don't like the way you're talking.
Just come on, let's talk about the draft. Let's go through the draft.
So R.J. Barrett looks like he's going to be a good player.
I can't wait till you get to 2015.
Stop it. R.J. Barrett looks like he's going to be a good player. Kevin Knox does not. Frank Ntilikina does not. Didn't have a pick in 16. In 15, you actually hit a home run, and you traded him away to clear up some salary cap.
And how does he look in Dallas?
Yeah, please, he's 30-12 every game now.
Great trade, Knicks.
It's unbelievable. You know what's amazing? He goes into the office. They can't get anything right. He goes into the office, says, I want to be dealt, and 8 minutes later, they moved on from Kristaps Porzingis. Like,
and now he's going to be a perennial all-star playing with Luka Doncic.
If you're Dallas, you stole that one. Klay Anthony early. Now, he wasn't a first-round pick. Tim Hardaway. Hardaway was fine. Iman Shumpert. Remember, they thought he was the real deal for about 8 minutes. I won't even give you the second round picks. In 2010, it was Routins and Landry Fields, and Fields was fine for a minute. Jordan Hill. Oh God. Jordan Hill was the 8th overall selection. Gallinari. See, every decent selection, Ty, they traded away.
That's what they do.
Yeah. It's frustrating. Gallinari. Wilson Chandler was fine. He's still a decent NBA player. Ronaldo Balkman and Marty Collins. Channing Frye. Trevor Ariza was a good pick back in 04. Mike Sweetney, Nene. What did they trade Nene away for? What, Antonio McDice? Wasn't that the trade? Ugh. Donnell Harvey. Frederick Weiss in 99. It really is. The guys I never heard of. DeMarco Johnson. And how about this? Do you know who the Knicks second round pick in 1998 was, just to bring this whole thing full circle, Ty?
Who was it?
Sean Marks.
Oh, wow. Nice.
There you go. Who went to where?
Sean Marks. Hofstra.
Yes. He Flying Dutchman, yes. Currently the Pride. No, not Hofstra. He might have. And I don't know if this is true. He might have gone to college with a Hall of Fame football player who was a basketball star as well in college. Tight end. Any idea?
University of California.
Look at you.
No, only because I looked it up.
Oh.
I'll be honest. I'll be genuine.
So you cheated. So who would that tight end be? You have any idea?
Repeat the question. I'm sorry.
I don't know if they overlap there, but I think they probably did. And that's a Hall of Fame caliber tight end.
Hall of Fame caliber tight end.
Yes, yes. They might not have overlapped, but they definitely went to the same school.
Hall of Fame caliber tight end.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw a dart at the wall.
He will be in the Hall of Fame.
He will be.
He might even be now.
I don't know.
Tony Gonzalez.
I thought he got in already.
Yeah, he probably got in.
So you're going, by the way, you're going through the recent draft picks for the Knicks. Aren't they supposed to be building through the draft? How's that working out?
See, you're just a bad guy.
Maybe I am, or maybe I'm just providing some perspective.
You're a bad guy. 800-919-3776. So here's what we're going to do. Ty, and I'm not even looking for your approval here. I'm not.
And Tony Gonzalez has already been elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
And did they overlap at Cal?
I'll have to look that
up. You'll have to use the Google on that. Here's what we're going to do. I'm not even looking for your approval. And by the way, Georgetown down 7-0 already to Villanova. Wonderful.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.